Welcome, everybody, to another episode of Real Fake Baseball for Friends with Fantasy Benefits. This is your host, Paul Martin, at Paul the Martin. I don't know why I enunciated extra on the T there.
Martin?
Yeah, you just had to know. Well, it's not Martian. Maybe that's what I was doing. It was a subliminal for all the people out there who try to call
me. Paul the Martian?
No, Martian. You're getting closer. No, don't do it. All right, well, that's Walter McMichael at Real Fake Walsher out on Twitter. Walsher, how you doing tonight?
It's Walter.
This is a great intro. We should stop as soon as possible.
I'm having a good night. It's been a nice little run. We did all those team previews. Started a new job since all that, so it's been a nice little time over here.
Yeah, that's really nice, Walter. So, let's mellow us down. Yeah, let's just stop all of it altogether and let's just get into the show because tonight we're going to kind of feature what we want to talk about for the year. Now that we're done with the team previews, as you said, and all the stuff that we need to do, we're kind of going into this year with a different focus, not a totally different focus, but we wanted to focus more on dynasty in general and dynasty value, you know, not just prospects, because we feel a lot of dynasty podcasts get caught into only talking about prospects, but we want to talk about players all over the place, whether they're young players in the league, whether they're older players in the league, whether they're prospects, whether they're just being drafted or signed at J2. We want to kind of focus on dynasty value and how to play dynasty as a game type, because it's completely different from redraft. And, you know, that's going to take a lot to explain. So we have this podcast and we're going to do it for an hour a week, hopefully. So that's what we're going to do for you this summer. And we're starting off with dynasty buys. So before your first year player drafts, you know, maybe you want to throw out some draft pick trades. And these are some guys that you might be able to buy low in your dynasty leagues that aren't just prospects. These are guys that can be older guys in the league. Well, all of these guys are older guys or younger guys in the league that you can buy to help your dynasty team, even if you're rebuilding. And I think that's a key here, is these guys are all projected to enhance their value during the season this season. So at some point, if you need to sell them, they should get more value than you traded for them. Does that make sense, Walter, or was that too much?
I mean, it was a lot. There's a lot to take in there. No, but I agree with you. I think part of one of the big misconceptions is that during like rebuilding, you just need to load up on all prospects. And I don't necessarily subscribe to that. I think one of the most important things that you can do when rebuilding is like target relievers. That's huge, especially if it's just the saves only league. That's kind of where our focus is going to be, because I personally don't really like saves hold leagues. I think holds are pretty terrible stats, so that's a whole different conversation. But yeah, you target guys that can become closers, because especially in deep leagues, there's only so many people getting closers, and contending teams will pay for a closer that is pitching well. So I think that's one of the bigger focuses that I have when rebuilding, is just trying to accumulate closers that I can eventually flip for prospects.
Yeah, that's a good strategy too, because pitchers are really hard to trade in dynasty, except for relievers. For some reason, no one cares about their long-term value, but if you need to flip a piece for, you know, a few prospects, a reliever is a really good way to go. And last year I had a few opportunities like that. I traded Corey Knebel in our league, and I think I traded someone else over there, but I still have Felipe Vasquez going into this year, so that's a piece that I'm looking to sell in my rebuild league. The Real Fake Dynasty is a rebuild right now. That's out there, I guess.
But yeah, maybe it's not. I rebuilt last year. Well, I didn't rebuild. I tanked year one so I could contend year two. And I ended up flipping AJ Minter for, I think it was Vidal Brujan and Isaac Paredes. So nice little return already looking there. But yeah, I think that you know, these aren't necessarily guys that you're buying low on, and even though a lot of them are, like, I think they're at the lowest end of their value, but I think these are a couple guys that are, like, breakouts that people don't necessarily believe, and also just a couple guys that I think aren't fully valued for how much they can help a contending team.
Right, right. And the value changes in the season. So let's get into it here. We have a few first basemen that you wanted to start off with, and we've talked about these guys on the previews somehow or another. But Luke Voit, Ryan O'Hearn, and another Ryan Zimmerman here. Is there anyone that sticks out to you in particular, or is there anyone that you're really buying heavily in almost every league?
Yeah, I mean, if you're contending, I think Ryan Zimmerman is a guy that you should definitely go out and try and get, because he's pretty much free. And if he's on a bad team, they're gonna want even just like a low level prospect from you. So I think with him being pretty much free, and we saw in 2017 he hit 300 with 30 plus home runs. So I if there's health there, he could be a top 5 to 10 first baseman on the year very easily.
Yeah, definitely fair. He has all the tools there. He can provide a high average and a lot of power, and it's a good lineup too. So all of that is there for him. Ryan O'Hearn, you're buying the surge last year at the end of the year for Ryan O'Hearn. Or maybe it's not just a surge, right?
Yeah, I think what happened last year was a surge, but I do believe that he's going to provide value. I think he's like a 250 hitter probably, and I think he has enough power to hit high 20s to low 30s home runs. So and that's really valuable at first base right now, and I don't think people are really valuing that high. I think he, even in just like redraft leagues, he's going outside of the top 30 first baseman. He's still relatively young. I think he's 25 years old currently, so yeah,
he's going to be 26 in the summer.
All the power metrics are there. I think he's a guy to buy. Luke Voit is kind of like Ryan O'Hearn, except completely different. But yeah, he's a guy that I think, like, I wasn't really in on, and then Ian Kahn had messaged me about how much he liked Luke Voit, and I kind of took a deeper look into him, and I was like, wow, everything's there. And it's just, this is a guy to buy just in case what he did at the end of last year was, like, if he does like 80% of that over a full year, he's just going to smash.
Yeah, that lineup is pretty sickening at this point, and who knows what else they bring in before the offseason is over. But Luke Voit, I don't see Greg Bird really starting in that situation. I mean, he might. They might give him a shot. They might play him as some sort of odd platoon, I suppose. It wouldn't really be a straight platoon. But, yeah, I mean, Luke Voit is definitely a name I'm buying. Ryan O'Hearn, I like all these guys here. I have no real gripes.
I will say one thing. If you contact your Luke Voit and Ryan O'Hearn owners and they really believe, then you just have to move on.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, that's like, how I'm these not, things I'm work. I'm not trying to pay up for them, but if the person who owns them thinks there's a chance that it was kind of fluky, that's when you buy.
Yeah.
Because you feel it's real. Zimmerman, I think that whoever owns Zimmerman is probably going to give him up pretty easily.
Yeah, definitely agree. I was one of those people. I don't think I gave him up too easily, though.
I mean, it didn't hurt what I gave up, but...
Yeah, but giving up Ryan Zimmerman didn't necessarily hurt me either. And I think that's how most of those deals are going to go. Just be fair about it, and, you know, Ryan Zimmerman shouldn't cost that much.
Yeah, exactly. I didn't have a catcher on there, but I will say, if the person who owns Gary Sanchez was disappointed, go buy Gary Sanchez. Yeah. That would be the one guy.
I kind of like Jorge Alfaro too. I mean, not as much now that he's in Miami, but he is a young catcher. He does have a lot of power potential, and he has good stuff to stick behind the plate. I mean, he's not a bad catcher at all defensively. So I think if the bat comes around, I mean, he's always had a ton of potential. He could be, I mean, it's not saying much, but he could be a top five statistical catcher at some point.
Yeah, yeah. Right now, his play discipline is just so bad.
It's bad. It's definitely bad. But he's a young international hitter. I mean, he's also a catcher. He's focused on defense all the way up. And, you know, he's still really raw. So there's going to be a lot of growth to be made in that bat. And he's got a place where he's going to work it out for sure.
So if I asked you right now, what would you say his swinging strike rate was last year?
His swinging strike rate had to be over 20%.
It was at 23.4%.
Yeah, yeah, I know. I know, for sure. But he's one of those guys that can hit the ball so hard that...
It's so crazy to see. Yeah. That's an insane number.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Definitely. But, I mean, people aren't worried about Javier Baez, apparently, so why should I worry about Jorge Alfaro?
This makes Javier Baez look like Joey Votto.
What? Oh, for a second, I thought you said Joey Gallo, and I was like, that's a terrible comparison. That's almost accurate. Like, so anyway, let's get to the middle infielders before we get too crazy here. Well, we have Miguel Sano here too, but Cesar Hernandez and Corey Seager. I like all these guys too. Is there anyone that really sticks out?
Yeah, I think that the reason I say Corey Seager is because I've heard a lot of people voice concerns over his injury, so I think it's a good time to reach out to the Corey Seager owner and see how they feel about him this year. And if they're a little low on him, I think it's a great time to buy, because I have full confidence that he's just going to be such a good hitter. And I know I was pretty big on the Corey Seager's overrated in redraft leagues, but he's the kind of guy I'd like to have in Dynasty, because year over year it's like bankable production.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't really see him ever hitting below like 280, or, you know, hitting really less than 27 home runs. I think 30 is easily in the bag every single year for him. But yeah, I mean, he's a guy I would probably buy. I know a lot of people are going out and trying to buy Chris Bryant off of an injured season, but Corey Seager's a name that is kind of going overlooked, maybe because he's already, you know, seen as coming back. I don't really know why people are still down on Corey Seager in a dynasty league, because he's so young.
He had a couple injuries. I think that's what's the problem. You know, he had Tommy John, he had the back the year before, and then he also had hip surgery as well. So
yeah, the other two would concern me more than the Tommy John. That doesn't really concern me.
Yeah, the Tommy John doesn't worry me at all, but the hip and the back are a little bit concerning. Right. So
well, if anything, Tommy John gave him more time to recover from those two too.
Yeah, possibly. He got the hip surgery after Tommy John, though.
Okay,
but I think that it's a good time just to see if his owner is worried about this.
Yes, I agree. Miguel Sano?
Yeah, Miguel Sano. I mean, he's going to be tough. I think it's a little tough in average leagues, because the batting average is going to be low. I think it's going to be hard for him to get over 230 to 240 range. But in OBP leagues, I think he's a definite buy. People really don't like him anymore, like at all. Like, they want nothing to do with him. And the projection systems pretty much have him like at 30 or right under 30 home runs and hitting around 240. So if you understand what you're getting with him, and understand that he brings elite power with a very risky batting average, he's kind of like a cheaper version of Joey Gallo right now.
Yeah, that, and I mean, the pedigree too is there with Sano, and as it is with Gallo. So if you can buy that cheap, I mean, if he comes back and he shows what we thought that we were going to get out of Sano before he started playing with the Twins, then that value is going to skyrocket. People are definitely going to want him. So, I mean, rebuilding team, contending team, I think any situation is really a good place to buy Sano if you can.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I think it's a little bit better for rebuilding, just because
it's risky.
It's risky on a contender, because what you don't want to happen is him to hit sub 200 again, and then you're you're burning a bench spot, because in dynasty leagues, those bench spots are so valuable. You have to make sure you have a quality player
right in
each and every spot when you're contending. So I think it's more of a rebuilding thing. Unless it's an OBP league, then I can see it for if you need like some power.
Right. Yep, I agree with that. And I think Cesar Hernandez is pretty clear here too, with a little power, little speed, and really good average in OBP. But is there anything else that you have any secrets on Cesar Hernandez or anything? Or is his value just that low?
No, I just think people don't really – he's kind of like a guy that – where people are like, yeah, Cesar Hernandez. Of course, I can trade him to you.
Right.
If he's on like a rebuilding team, I think he's a guy that you can really just get for pretty much almost nothing, and he's a solid contributor. And he should be hitting leadoff for the Phillies this year, and I think they're gonna have a really good offense. You know, they just added Realmuto today.
Yep.
So that's a big boost. They have McCutcheon and Hoskins. So I think he has a pretty solid lineup behind him. I think his OBP is going to be up a little bit higher than it was last year. So I think he's going to get into that 360 range again. And he was at 370 each of the prior 2 years. And I think he's probably going to hit like 270. So I think he's just like a solid glue guy, middle infielder who gets you a little bit of everything.
Yeah, definitely helpful to have those kind of guys on the team that you don't have to worry about. You just stick in middle infield, and you know, you don't really have to worry about the waiver wire in that position. I would add Brandon Lowe. Yeah, Brandon, I forget Lau. Which one's Lowe and which one's Lowe, but you know, the Brandon. And his last name is Lowe, and he plays for the Tampa Bay Rays, and he's should be their main utility guy, I would think, this year. And I think he's going to get 500 plate appearances at least. And he's a guy that can steal double-digit bases. He can hit 20 home runs, and he can hit for a decent average in that amount of playing time. So Brandon Lowe is definitely a buy for me. And I already bought him in one league, and I'm trying to get him in other leagues, but I think that you should go after him in most of your leagues. What do you think about that one?
Yeah, I'm with you on Brandon Lowe. I like him a lot, and the really good thing is if you're in OBP leagues, he's pretty much shown a 10% walk rate at every level, including his call up to the majors last year. So I think no matter what, he's gonna maintain a plus OBP, and then he has solid power, solid average. I think he's a really good buy.
Yep, and a guy that you could probably, at the end, you know, at some point in the year, you're going to be able to play him in a ton of different positions too. I think he's going to play a little third, a little second, a little first. So you probably can have middle infield, first base, second base, and probably some outfield there too. So it's going to be
I think he'll at least gain outfield eligibility.
Oh, yeah. Well, and he starts with, I'm pretty sure he's starting with second and outfield too. So,
no, he's only second base right okay. now.
So, yeah, he'll definitely gain outfield eligibility at some point. But, yeah, that's my middle infield add there. But I guess he's an outfielder at this point. And we have more outfielders. We have Byron Buxton, who's pretty clear. I think he's been a buy low in Dynasty ever since he started playing, because he just never really has shown his potential at all, except for one little stretch at the end of the year that made people go nuts.
Except for last year.
Well,
people were going crazy last year.
For him, yeah.
But I think after the terrible year last year, some people, especially ones that – well, I think it's going to be a little more – you're going to get him cheaper in a startup than you will in a trade. I still think in a trade you can get him for less than he's worth, depending on the owner. But I still – like, there's still that upside there. It's not like between last year and this year's upside has changed.
Yeah.
If you thought he was going to be – he had that upside, that crazy upside that people were projecting last year, it should still be there in your opinion. So I don't know. I think if you believed in that upside, go pay a little bit more than the market price right now, and – if it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out, but the upside is massive.
Yeah, I like what you said about you can probably get him cheaper in a startup draft than if someone has been holding on to him for a couple of years, especially last year after he had that crazy run. And if your startup was last year, he was probably drafted super high. Especially like even if it's like a 3-year dynasty draft, someone's been holding to Byron Buxton for so long. They drafted him as probably the number one prospect, and it's going to be hard for that person to let go. But in a startup draft, I would definitely be going after him. I've tried to buy Buxton, and it's hard. So I'm not sure of how much of an easy buy it's going to be. But it would be a good one if you can get him for lower than his value. You have Cedric Mullins here too, who's an interesting guy on Baltimore. I really like him, and that's your team. So why don't you tell me a little bit more about your boy here, Cedric?
Yeah, he's just going to play so much. He's projected to lead off. He has power, he has speed, he can get on base. It's just like he's gonna provide so much value just on like his plate appearance volume alone. And who knows, he could be the Orioles center fielder of the future, and he could just be their leadoff hitter for the next couple years. And even if the Orioles I'm not gonna say even if the Orioles aren't good. The Orioles are gonna be terrible. But just the amount of plate appearances he's going to put up is going to cause him to score runs. He's going to steal bases, hit home runs. Like, all the projection systems have him around like 15-15, 250, yeah, which is really good for what he costs. I've been looking at Rudy's dollar values on Razzball. I'm a big fan of all his work that he has there, and he has Mullins as the 102nd overall hitter. So he has him as like an $8 player, which is pretty good. He's actually ahead of like Adam Eaton and good old Adam Eaton.
Yeah, good old accumulator who never plays.
Yeah, that's what Cedric Mullins could really be.
Absolutely. Nick Markakis.
Adam Eaton, the accumulator.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I definitely agree with you there. Not Cedric the Entertainer. Cedric the Accumulator. I like that. Oh, no.
Cedric the Accumulator.
Roto-Wire. No, Roto-Wear, sorry. Roto-Wear. We need a shirt. Cedric the Accumulator. Baltimore is going to get a shirt this year. It might be the only one that's actually a good one. But
Let's hope they get one. I could use a Baltimore one.
I like that one. Maybe that'll be it. But anyway.
Cedric the Accumulator.
Maybe if he's actually good. And I think he's going to be good too. So, I like it. I like the buy. Keon Broxton, Lewis Brinson, another couple buys for you. And I think these guys are pretty similar as far as they swing a lot, they miss a lot, and they have a ton of raw athleticism. So is there any other reasons to be buying into these guys other than the fact that their prospect hype is dwindling?
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty much it. I love buying like former top prospects Keon Broxton isn't a former top prospect. He's just a super athletic guy, and I think he's probably the favorite to start in center field for the Mets right now. So, and he's a really good defender, so it should be able to keep his bat in the lineup. And even if he hits for a low batting average, I think he can. I believe he had a 2020 season a few years ago. So
yeah, I think that was 2020.
He's a guy that I want to buy just for stolen bases, and he's shown the ability to take a walk. So in OBP leagues, he gets a little more value because he can walk and steal bases, which is really, really hard to find right now. And Brinson, I mean, that's just an upside play. There's really not much there in his profile that's showing that you should buy him, but I think people are kind of tired of Brinson already, and it's only been 1 year that he's in the majors. And I don't know. I think guys like him just take a long time to kind of figure out major league pitching. And if the owner doesn't really want him anymore, I think it's just a good time to buy him.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, with Brinson too, it's like he basically had – I mean, he didn't really prove that he should get called up to the big leagues. And they called him up to the big leagues and they stuck him there all year. So he was set out into the fire and he had to fail and he wasn't going anywhere. He wasn't going back down. Miami was playing him there all year. There was no doubt about it. So, you know, he got his lumps out on the big league roster. And I think that that was good for a guy like him. And, you know,
well, I don't know if he got his lumps out.
But we're buying him based on, you know, hopefully he got his lumps out. You know, that's kind of like, that's what you're hoping. Maybe he took something from last year. I mean, he had to have taken something from last year unless he's blind. You know, there are some things that clearly you are bad at, Lewis Brinson. I'm sorry, but there is, and I hope you found them and are training them right now so that you'll be better next year. And I think that that's kind of what happened. And you know what? He gets, I think all of these guys that were traded to Miami last year get kind of deflated on their value just because people love to think that Miami lost all the trades. And I mean, granted, they weren't great trades. They got rid of their salary and all of that. It was more of a money thing. But the players going back to Miami, I think, got discounted based on everyone saying that they lost the trades. When the guys that they got back were okay. They're, you know, they're not superstars, but Brinson has a superstar upside. I think Eason Diaz is still a good hitter. I think Jordan Yamamoto is a pretty good pitcher. But they don't really get talked about a lot because they went to Miami in these seemingly bad trades. So go out and buy Brinson.
Yeah, that's like you name some guys and they're solid. And then
no one talks about them at all.
You think about it and it's like, yeah, they kind of gave up Christian Yelich.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. Guys. Yeah, but I mean, you know, they did what they had to do at some point, you know.
Yeah.
No one really expected Yelich to go full MVP last year either, but I mean, it happened. He hit his upside. That was it, you know. He wasn't going to win MVP in Miami, so I mean, they held him for one more year. It's not like they would have got much more value, I don't think.
Yeah, I'm not sure. But we can move on from Lewis Brinson. He's just like one of those athletic freaks. Like to take a chance on, and yeah, he has to be on a rebuilding team. That's I think that goes without saying, yeah. Really. So the next guy I had was Greg Allen, and you kind of asked me about him, and I just think he's a guy that could steal you 30 to 35 bases this year while hitting like 260-ish.
Yeah, that's fair.
And I don't know if you've looked at the Cleveland Indians outfield depth chart lately.
It's bad.
Oh, it's horrendous.
Yeah, it's bad.
So there's nobody that's going to be pushing him for playing time.
I mean, he's kind of like statistically, he's kind of like Rajay Davis, who's kind of replacing.
Yeah, kind of like that. He actually like he doesn't swing and miss at all. So that's good.
I think he
should be able to make a ton of contact and maintain a pretty good average and steal a lot of bases. I mean, he stole 21 bases last year in 291 plate appearances. So,
yeah. Cleveland likes to run for sure.
Yeah, I think he can get you 30 stolen bases. And I don't think it's going to cost you the amount that it'll cost you for like a Malik Smith type who, granted, is a better hitter and will probably steal more bases, but he's coming at a premium.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. People are all over the Malik Smith train.
Oh, yeah, they love him. So I think Greg Allen is your cheaper stolen base guy.
All of these guys are cheaper speed buys, I think. You know, obviously Greg Allen, Cedric Mullins have the highest floor of the five. But Broxton, Brinson, and Buxton can all really provide, obviously, tons of speed. But it's all about
the killer bees.
Yeah. What? Yeah, the killer bees. All right. Let's move on. Let's move on to another killer bee, Trevor Bauer. I'll let you talk about this guy. Is his value deflating via Twitter? How are his ratios in fantasy baseball?
I think his ratios in
fantasy baseball will be better than his ratios on Twitter. How about that one?
Yeah. His Twitter following on Twitter isn't the greatest thing, but you know, I think his fantasy stats are just gonna. I think he just finally turned that corner last year, and I think he's like a top five dynasty pitcher. Okay, I honestly do. I think he's just a beast.
Yeah, I mean, he has the stuff, and he has the knowledge, and you know, what else do you have to say? Like he put it all together.
I don't think he's gonna cost top five, like top ten, and I get that's kind of like towing the line a little bit, but yeah. It's still like a slight discount where I think that next year we could be talking about Trevor Bauer, where he's in that upper tier of starting pitchers that is going off the board.
Yeah, I agree with that. I'm not sure if I'd be buying him if he's going to cost that much. But yeah, it's all about the situation.
I'm not going to buy him as a top five.
Yeah.
Well, I might buy him as a top five. I really like Trevor Bauer.
That's fair. I just think in general, like the thought of buying pitching for long term in Dynasty scares me. So the guy next that you have listed too, Germán Márquez, like he seems like more of a long term pitching buy, and I feel like that makes me scared. Whereas going into a startup draft this year, I would definitely be targeting Trevor Bauer and Germán Márquez wherever I could. But trading for them makes me more nervous.
Yeah, I don't think Germán Márquez is long term. I think he's just going to be really good this year, and he just so happens to be young. But you're if he was pitching anywhere else but Coors right now, he'd probably be like a top 10 dynasty pitcher.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with that.
Legitimately.
Yeah.
So all the skills are there. I think everybody has heard all the stuff about him changing his pitch mix around midseason, and then just completely dominating for the rest of the year, whether it was in Coors, out of Coors. And I don't know, maybe it is just that devastating slider that'll be able to help him conquer Coors, because it seemed to last year. And
yeah, I mean, Ottavino did it, so.
Yeah, I mean, obviously in short stints with Ottavino, but
yeah,
all the skills are there, and he put up – he hit a 3.77 ERA last year, and every metric pretty much said he was unlucky for the total for all of the year. So he – I think you can get him at like top 20 starting pitcher cost around there. And I don't know if he does what he did last year again, he's just going to be like so much better than starting pitcher 20.
Yeah. Agreed.
It's hard to say it because he pitches in Coors, but it's like, I feel like he has like ace upside.
Well, he's what we wanted from John Gray.
Yeah, I know. I've been telling people that. That's
basically right. How about like John Gray? What do you think about him? He's kind of is he a buy?
Nah, I can't do it to myself again.
We're done on John Gray.
I just can't do it to myself. It just hurts too much.
Yeah, hear you. I hear you on that one. We still have him, luckily.
Do we still have him? I thought we traded him.
Did we trade him? God, I hope so. I don't know.
I'll go check right now.
You don't have to. It's okay, Walter. You don't have to check right now.
Traded him. Hold on. I'm almost there. I'm almost there already.
Oh my god.
This is great radio. We do not have John Gray on our team, so he went out in one of our trades that we did.
Right, and I'm sure we won because we always do.
Oh, calm down there, buddy. Calm down.
I'm sorry. I'm riled up. I apologize to everyone out there. Oh, also, apologies for the Deve Garcia rank in Prospects 1500. I did say that I would schedule that apology at some point, and I should have put him higher, and I apologize. But he's going to be higher. We're going to talk about him all year anyway, so who really cares?
Oh, my gosh. Arbitrary lists are fun. I remember I told you. I was like, why isn't he higher? And you're like, oh, but this, that, blah, blah. And I was like, yeah, but he was like 19 at AA.
Yeah, but you know, when people call you out on things, you defend yourself at first. That's what happens. These are the steps of being outed.
You got to understand, I'm not calling you out. I'm just preventing you getting called out.
No, you're not, because it already happened. I was already being called out, and then that's you true. Called me out again as if people weren't already calling me out. So I already knew about it.
Constructive criticism, my friend.
No, it was basically just like, you saw someone that was on the ground, you kicked me, and then you threw your shoe at me before you left. And it was awful. Right, so I felt really bad.
Pretty much what you Darvish did to Fantasy Owners last year. How about that transition, huh? No, but
it was okay. It was kind of forced, but
yeah, you Darvish, he's the next one on my list. I just think that last year was just a lost year. And you know, some people are done with Darvish. Like, they want no part of him at all. And I think if an owner has him, he can still help a ton in strikeouts. I think the whip might be a little ugly. Like, the ratios aren't going to be what they used to be, but the strikeouts are still there.
Yep. I agree with that. I mean, Yu Darvish is a nasty pitcher, so there's no real reason to think that he's just going to fall off the face of the earth, but he kind of did. He kind of did, almost did, but I the earth is not flat, so I think he's going to come back around this year a little bit.
I believe he came in the best shape of his life this year.
Did he? Well,
no, I don't think so. I just had to put that in there.
Well, you know he's going to get injured now. Vince Velasquez, though. I bought him. That was actually our trade. Ryan Zimmerman for
that was our trade.
For Vince Velasquez. So they're both on your list right here. And I mean, we don't really have to pair him with Pomeranz, but these are two guys that really disappointed last year after showing some stuff that, you know, made you think that they were going to be useful pitchers possibly in the future, and then kind of ruined everything. But you're buying a bounce back, or just the fact that they can't be that bad again? I mean, what do you think about these two guys?
Well, Vince Velasquez, every time I watch him, it's like he's either extremely good or extremely bad, and I have a feeling one day he's just going to keep going on that extremely good. Like, his zone contact rate is always really good. So he always limits contact in the zone because his stuff is just so nasty. So I think he's definitely a buy as a rebuilding team. He's kind of the one of the reasons I traded him to you, and I was trying to get him off of my team, is in the event that, cuz I still like him, so I wouldn't drop him. But in the event that he struggles, he would be a wasted bench spot.
Right.
So that was part of the thing. Pomeranz, I actually like a lot. I mean, he I think 2017 and 2016, he had like 3.31 ERA both of the years. I know he had the exact same ERA both of the years. I don't remember the exact number. But last year, he just struggled a ton with the Red Sox, and he was injured a lot. So – and now he's in San Francisco, which is obviously we know is a great pitcher's park. Going to the NL, I think it's just a nice low risk gamble, and he's shown us he can maintain like a low threes ERA with over a strikeout per inning.
Yeah, definitely, I agree with that. There, everything you said is facts. And Vince Velasquez, I'm hoping that he works out for me. I mean, I feel like you said, he's just a real, you know what, Michael Pineda. He's got a little Michael Pineda to him, where he looks really good at times, and you can see like top of the line, almost top of the line rotation stuff, and then sometimes he just looks so hittable and so, you know, so flat, and you gotta just hope for consistency with him. And I think Drew Pomeranz is a lot of the same. So a lot of times that he comes out and his breaking ball could be a little bit flat and hanging, and then that's when he gets mashed. So it's going to be
And I think San Francisco can help that.
Right. That's what I was just going to say, you know, if you didn't interrupt me, I was going to say, but moving to San Francisco. But anyway,
okay,
we can move on now, Walter, so I don't get, you know, riled up like I was before. I got to calm down again now.
Like, you're Davey Garcia. Is he a buy low? Or is he a buy?
I mean, he's not a buy low, I don't think, anymore. He's pretty much the number two prospect on every – yeah, I think he is a buy, though, because I think by the end of the year, he's going to be on more consensus top 100 lists, like the bigger lists. And I think he might be even one of the top pitchers by the end of the year on some of those lists. So yeah, I would call him a buy. And I think your boy Vidal Brujan too. I think he's a buy too, because I think, you know, he's kind of getting buzzed as like a top 25 prospect right now, and I think he could be even higher at the end of the year. So
yeah, love me some Vidal Brujan. I was upset to trade him in in Real Fake Dynasty, but I still have a couple shares, so I'll survive.
Yes. And we have a few relievers here. I think we can get through them pretty quickly, but like you said, this is a big position to buy if you're rebuilding, because you can always flip relievers to a contending team for whatever they have left over for prospects, or, you know, any little pieces that they have. But you have Dellin Betances, you have Trevor May, you have Ty Buttrey, AJ Minter, and Ryan Presley as your guys. Now, is there any real reason you bunch these guys together? Are they handcuffs in your mind? Are, you know, what is your thought process with buying these guys?
All right, so I'll go with kind of how I thought about some of them. So Trevor May, the reason I like him, because he just was absolutely dominant last year. And if the Twins do not sign Craig Kimbrell, I think he's going to be a top 10 closer this year. Like I will go on the record with that one, because he was just dominant last year, and I think it's just going to continue. And Ty Buttrey, I know the Angels signed Cody Allen, but Cody Allen was not good last year, and I think Buttrey is their best reliever. So Betances, he's a free agent at the end of this year. And we know the Yankees hate him. So I'd assume he'd sign somewhere else and become a closer come 2020. And Betances as a closer is
top,
pretty scary.
Top three?
Somewhere around there.
Because by that time, you got to think maybe Chapman, Jansen, or Kimbrel is kind of starting to fall off a little bit.
Yeah. So if you can get Betances, and like he's the kind of guy I'd like to get if I want to try and win in year two, is draft Betances, because he's going at a setup man price, and then hold him for this year. And then if he signs with a team, you have a top five closer next year, and you don't even have to pay for him.
Yep.
So yep. Another guy is AJ Minter, because Arodys Vizcaino is a free agent after this year, so he would naturally be the next in line. Obviously, there's always risks with these guys that, you know, Betances signs with, I don't know, a team that has another – that has a better Mets. Closer than him. Yeah, the Mets. And – Edwin Diaz is their closer, so he's not going to close there.
Right.
And there's always a risk that the Braves re-sign Arodys Vizcaino, but I, the Braves seem like a team that would move on from him because they have so much pitching. So I think Minter will probably be their closer come 2020. And then the other guy I put is Ryan Presley, because he just dominated with the Astros last year, and he is also a free agent after this year.
Yep. I like all those guys. I don't really – oh, I do have one off the top of my head. Tommy Eveld. Are you familiar with Tommy Eveld?
I can't say off the top of my head I am.
He is the Miami Marlins' best reliever from the minors last season, and he put up some pretty insane numbers, and he was invited to training camp. And there is reports out there that Craig Mish basically was saying that he thinks that by halfway through the year, he should be the Marlins closer. And I think it could be even earlier than that. I mean, he's not really like a guy that they care to cost control. I think at this point, they just want to make other teams see that he can be a big league closer and affect the game at the end. And I think they're going to showcase him to be traded. I think he's a really good pitcher, and I think he might even be available on Dynasty Wires. Like in first year player drafts too. Yeah, absolutely. So
you're not a Steckenrider fan?
I mean, he's okay, but I think have you seen Eveld at all? Like, look, no. if you look up his numbers, you'll like him.
Well, I just looked him up. They were good in AA last year. That's for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I think. Basically, he didn't really pitch too much for them last year. He pitched a lot for the Diamondbacks. But yeah, I mean, I think he's got the stuff. He's got command. He's got some nasty pitches, and I think that he's definitely got closer stuff. He's probably got high leverage stuff. So that could be a thing too. They might pitch him in the eighth inning, but I think that's a good buy for relievers.
No love for Adam Conley?
Should there be?
I'm just talking about Marlins relievers.
You're bringing up people that don't matter.
Whoa, yeah. Adam Conley was throwing gas last year.
Yeah, I'll believe it when I see it more often.
He was legitimately throwing 95 last year.
I used to like him too, but all good things come to an end at some point. And he was a terrible thing. Those things end too, apparently.
Like this podcast.
Like this podcast. And that's a great transition, Walter, because you know what? It's about time to go. We have no more buys on the list right now, but I think we came up with a pretty good list for people. I think all of these guys can help you in, like we said, either rebuilding or contending or maybe even both for some of these guys. And if you forget, you can always re-listen to the podcast. We're not gonna make fun of you for that. You know, people love our voices, Walter. I've heard.
I haven't heard that. Yeah. I've heard they like your voice, not mine.
Well, that's nice. That's very nice of them to say. Tell them to tell me, though, because I usually hear bad things. But yeah.
Like your Davey Garcia rank.
Yeah. Thanks for bringing it up again, Walter. Really appreciate that. And on that note, we're going to get out of here. At Paul the Martin, if you wanted to follow me on Twitter, at RealFakeWalter to follow my co-host, who is just going to make fun of me mercilessly all year for not just for Davey Garcia. It's going to happen multiple times for multiple players. And probably things I didn't even say he's just going to make fun of me for. But you know what? That's why I love him. That's why he's here with me right now in his bed, cozy, podcasting.
Hey, I'll say this. I take the L when I'm wrong.
I do too. I just publicly apologized on a podcast.
No, I agree. I'm saying.
Okay. We're good at that.
It's not all me just giving you shit. I take my L's too.
Well, yeah, and you know what? That's why we're partners, Walter, because we can
we can dish it and take it. That's the key. If you can't do both, you can't do either.
Exactly. So now we're gonna go. I promise. Now we're out. That was a lot better of an ending. I really appreciate that closure. And yeah, listen again next week. We're gonna be back next week, right, Walter? Promise. We're gonna be back every week now.
Yep, that is correct.
Yes, I like it. All right, so we're going to promise you, and we're going to break the promise, but we promise that as well. So, till next week, we'll see you guys. Bye-bye.